Now, there's two kinds of universes that could, quote, louse him up, unquote. Two kinds. One is a universe which is psychotic. That could foul him up for the good reason that man never has had a solution for psychosis. So it's the unsolved problem. He's had a solution for all kinds of things. You know, he's had a solution for continuing life for a long time. You knock the body off and get another body. You keep bodies breeding along the line so that you will have enough bodies to come back to. That's solved. But insanity, no. A guy could get so unreasonable that at length he wouldn't have enough sense to keep the body line going, and he'd try to just knock off everything or bust it all up somehow or another or be crazy in some department. Well, nobody had a solution to that. Well, we've got a solution to that. So let's look at this in terms of what universe is he in that's crazy. Now, theoretically, there was just one crazy universe. Somewhere on the backtrack, there was just one crazy universe, and everybody got scared of it. And that was the universe they mustn't get into. There was probably a game somewhere on the backtrack of what that was called Me and Thee and the Rest of Us Guys Must Not Get Into That Universe Over There That We Will Call the Crazy Universe. Because it has erratic motions in it, therefore we know it's a crazy universe and we mustn't get in that universe. It was a game, something like Hare and Hounds or something. There probably just was one, and people have been knocking back and forth in and out of it ever since, you see. They've been patterning the pattern, the pattern, the pattern, because any psycho that you picked up is psycho because he's having trouble with a crazy universe. Let's say you got a psycho, a Thetan, who was a real psycho, and you ran this process on him, you got him out of a crazy universe, and you went and found the person whose universe you got him out of, you see. You'd find that you would run him to get him out of a crazy universe. And whose universe did you get him out of? Well, that is Bill's crazy universe. Now, if you went and found Bill, you would exteriorize Bill from a crazy universe, and you'd probably go all the way back down the track and find out there was probably only one crazy universe. Okay, so that's one problem, the crazy universe. What's your little e-meter's going to find out for you? It's just going to sit there, and it's going to find that out right away. And I'm not going to ask you to put in 85,000 hours on this without an e-meter. Because, why? It's too easy. So let's just put the electrode in the preclear's hand and make him compress it several times so as to get him over convulsions. And set the sensitivity needle so that you can read any dip he has with fair reasonability. And let's just sit there then and read off at him. Well, let's see now, you'll say. Now, would it be tactful to say crazy universe? No. Who is crazy in your family? I could just see you now sitting there. Large streams of preclears. They walk in, you go all the way through the steps, hit step four, they get up and pick up their hat. Next preclear comes in, you run all the way through the steps, pick step four, he picks up his hat and leaves. Next preclear comes. I can just see this at this point, and it's not a pretty picture. So let's take the other kind of a universe. We're going to remember, though, that that's what we're going to do with this guy. And we're going to take the other kind of a universe.
That's the universe that owned everything.
This universe was another kind of a universe that probably got there the same way that this crazy universe got there. But there must have been a universe where you couldn't have anything. Somewhere on the track. There must have been this universe where you couldn't have anything. But we're not even interested in that universe. We're interested in the universe that had to have everything. And let's look deep into the past of the preclear this wise. Let's just ask this horrible question. Who owns everything? Now, at this time, we're going to have available to us a list of the personnel in this case. Obviously, this fellow is in a body, so there was a papa and a mama. See? But who else was there in his family? Well, let's just take off a list. And let's just ask him to name the people he has been associated with since birth. Take a little piece of paper and write them all down if you want to. But he's holding the electrode while he's doing this. Gee, we get real covert. He's holding the electrode, and you ask him to name all the people he's been associated with since birth. Now, we're going to write down all of that, and we're going to make a list of these people with the small or none great or medium reaction. In other words, we're just going to check off each one of these things until we hit somebody we can four-star. You know, and they said, well, and then there's Papa, you know, and it falls 15 dials. Up to this time, it hasn't quivered. Well, we're going to sneak up on him like this. We know then the problem with universes, the problem of havingness, is with Papa. Just like that. We're going to take the people on that list, more or less in the order of dip. That one who dipped the mostest, we're going to take the fustest. We might as well cut him to pieces, serve him up on toast. We might as well, right there. We're only going to ask him one question about any of these people, and we're going to ask that question over and over and over and over and over. We're not going to worry about much exteriorizing him from those universes. We're not really concentrating on that. We're going to ask him this question. We've gotten the list now. We put him on an E-meter when we got to step four. See, by the way, just to get you in sequence, two back corners of the room, he held those. You said, let go. Give me some spots in space where you're not. He spotted a few. You put him on the E-meter. Just like that. And you said, give me a list of the people you've been associated with since birth. And you started writing them all down. And as he went down the line, you maybe had to fish for one. The one that's most significant is probably the last one that'll come up. So you want to get that list fairly complete. And you've noted the reaction. Now, this is, in the essence, saving time. You're making him do an assessment, and you're watching that meter react. All right, now you got that down the line, and we've gotten down there to where the four-star character was, well, let's say, the most average one you'll find will be Papa. Or Mama. Whichever one dipped the most, or whichever one you picked out of the big dips that you got, maybe you got a dip on everybody, so what? So everybody's tangled up. You ask him just this question. You got that list, and then you said to him, all right, now give me some things which Father, the biggest dip you got, doesn't own. And I don't care if that pre-clear sits there, totally blank and half spun in, for a half an hour without answering you. The whole period he's trying. He's trying to answer you. He isn't in a boil-off. You've just hit to the center of the longest comm lag on his case, so expect it to happen at that moment. And don't you give up on Papa until you've got something. Now, once having committed yourself to battle in this particular instance, let's don't quit until we've gotten what we started after, because you can get an answer. You took the biggest dip on the dial, and you said, this was Papa's dip, see? Or this was Mama's dip, or this was Aunt Agnes's dip, or anybody's dip. This is the biggest one you got. And you said, after you finished off all of this assessment, you said, all right, now, give me some things, name some things, just list some things, that whoever was the biggest dip doesn't own. Give me some things that Papa doesn't own. Now, quite customarily, you will only have a minute or two lag on your first question. It'll be a rather brief lag. But don't be amazed if you have a half an hour lag. You've said the question and he answers a half an hour later. Don't start hounding him. Because, boy, this pre-clear went blanker than anything you ever heard of. He looks all over the whole goddamn universe, all through his own possessions, every place he could possibly think of, and he can't find one thing that Papa doesn't own. Why? Because the viewpoint is the god of the universe he's in. And the viewpoint of the universe he's in owns everything in the universe. There's no further significance to it than this. It's a basic law. Don't think that it's just because his father had a Germanic complex of it was his house and his car and so forth. Don't think that this is necessarily significant at all. It isn't. The universe he's in, of course, is owned by the viewpoint of that universe. There wouldn't be any universe there, you see, if it wasn't for the fact there was a viewpoint there, space viewpoint, a dimension. So we just ask him that question, and we sail on down the line. And now, when we've finally gotten an answer, whether it came shortly, immediately, or otherwise, we ask him for some more things that this person doesn't own. We never ask him for things which this person does own. We only ask for things this person does not own, because that's the truth of the case. Papa probably doesn't even own his own head as a Thetan, you see. Well, it defies all rationality. Every rationality you could think of is defied by this particular process. It just is not rational. It's not reasonable. Now, your preclear may demonstrate another manifestation entirely, in that he will just skim along on the surface of it, hoping he doesn't fall in somehow or another, and sort of tell you brightly and happily, if a little nervously, well, he doesn't own this building, he doesn't own the suit I'm in, he doesn't own this, he doesn't own that, he doesn't own that. No, he doesn't own that. Hit him in the head, do something with him. Cave him in. You want him falling all the way downstairs to right where the E-meter said he was. You say, give me one thing for sure, that you're absolutely certain, that you can be positive about, that your father does not have complete and full deed of title to. One thing. What you're liable to get is this first skimmer. See? But the E-meter just told you that this guy is 18,000 feet deep without any ladder. Now, you want him to fall in. That's the mean trick you're going to do to him. You're just going to grab him by the cuff, and down he goes, 18,000 feet deep. Only you're going to give him a ladder. He's going to have to climb out of it. Now, after we worked this for quite a while, how long? Until the E-meter is no longer reacting on Papa. We take up the next one we got a dip on. Now, give me some things that don't belong to this person, that this person doesn't own. Next one. You can expect the same thing all over again. And remember that the physical universe is owned by a character named God. And remember also that his body has a universe, which is not his universe. Recall this while you're working this, and get those two things on that assessment list. There's no big reaction on God. Don't be surprised. There will be after you get all of the allies run out. God is just so far down into apathy that he just gets no reaction. Needle doesn't even stick. He takes this as a matter of course. All right, so remember that his own body and God are on that list, in addition to everybody else he said, and you had to mention these. Now, how did you mention these? You wanted the people he's been associated with since birth. Get this. You didn't ask him anything about ownership, protection. You didn't start the wheels and cogs turning in this skull, did you? You just asked him, give me the people you've been associated with since birth. And then you kind of add in when he's giving you everybody he could think of, and you've got the reactions, you sort of add in, you say, well, and of course, there's God, been associated with, well, if it goes clong, well, I put that down as a big reaction. But don't run it first. You'd be in trouble. That's too much for the preclear to take if he really gets a deep reaction right off on God. But remember to put it on the list. Remember to run it. And the other one is, well, amongst the people you've been associated with since birth is your body. How about that? You've been associated with that since birth. fellow says, oh, yes, 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 or he may say, yes, 15 dials worth. But those two things you would not ordinarily run first. You see that. You ordinarily would not run God or the body first, but they must be on the assessment list. All right, so you just exteriorize him from these universes on that basis. Now, when you've done all that and you've figured all that out one way or the other, you've got that list and you've run this sort of thing, you probably will learn without any further asking who had the crazy universe. See? Somebody did. But if you haven't learned that by this time, then you ask, because by this time your pre-clear is in good enough condition. He's in good enough shape so that you can communicate with him. You've gotten a few of these universes off the comm line. You just ask him, well, now, was anybody, you ever around anybody that you objected to their being so crazy? Around anybody that was so crazy? Well, the funny part of it is, it will probably sneak up on the line. It may have been his grandfather, or, you know, it may have been somebody he won't think of right off the bat. He may tell you two or three people, or four or five people, before he gets around to this other one. Or he may tell you right away. But again, you're just looking for heavy charge. That's all you're looking for. Now, you simply ask the same question all over again. You just keep on with the same process, in other words. You just made sure that you had that crazy person on there. Because now there's two universes you're trying to get out, two types of universe you're trying to get off this pre-clear. Number one, he can't have anything because it all belongs to somebody else. And the other one is he can't be sane because he's in a crazy universe. Now, we're not saying the pre-clear is crazy. Anybody who has been around a psycho knows it's a strain. All right, so that's enough for that step, isn't it? Well, boy, is that an easy step to do. We simply got a hold of the E-meter, put him on the E-meter, and said, who have you been associated with since birth? Oh, you've been associated with this and that, and oh, you know, and so on and so on and so on. You just took a list of these people. Then you remembered to put on the list his body and God on the universe list, and you asked him about those, and then you went straight in, all right, and you took the biggest dip that you got, unless it was body or God. You left those alone. And took the biggest dip that you got, and you said, now give me some things that don't belong to whoever got the biggest dip on there. Okay. And you just ran that out. In other words, a lot of straight wire, actually. And there's this little modification. When he starts saying so-and-so, you know, objects, items, so forth, he's getting more and more sure, you say, spot their location in the physical universe. Every time he calls off a jug, a pump, a house, anything like this, you say, spot their location on the physical universe. You don't hound him about it. But let's get two processes going here at once. Otherwise, you're wasting a lot of time. See? I mean, you might as well have these two processes going at once. And that was all you did to do this. Got it? Now we get to five. Don't we? Only do we? Nope. SOP 8D only has four steps. That's dirty trick, isn't it? Are you all set to learn all sorts of things? What'd you do after you did all these things? Well, you had him go back, of course, and run step one again. Well, what's step one consist of? Well, he's already out of his head. Well, that's fine, so he's exteriorized. Then you ran step two, and what's step two consist of? That's just duplication of the environment and duplication of nothing. Well, that certainly isn't very much to run. Then you ask him to hold the two back corners of the room, and then supplying some places where he was not. Then you want to know who owned everything. Well, that certainly isn't getting anybody up very far. That certainly isn't doing very much for case, is it? All you do is exteriorize him, bring him up to theta clear with no trouble, But that's not anywhere near good enough. Now, actually, all joking aside, the reason we're running this particular process this way, and so on, is mostly because it works in a very rapid progress in this fashion. Works fairly rapidly as a precursor to SOP 8.0. And this is the one that you dub right in ahead of SOP 8.0 if you're just going on for broke. What we're watching here is a slight condensation of data. In other words, we're just bringing a lot of data that we've been using sort of gunshot on a reevaluation. We find out some of these things are more important than others. And so we just going right on up through to 8.0. Well, you say, what happens here to places where things are safe? Well, 8D is a complete tool in itself. It's a complete tool in itself. Based on this, the reason a person does not get mock-ups. Well, this, by the way, is not a theory. This is an observed clinical fact. The reason a person does not get mock-ups, does not get perceptions, and so forth, is his ownership is upset. If you can convince somebody that he doesn't own something, and then ask him, just take somebody who can get good visios of everything, and we sell him a real bill of goods on the fact that he doesn't own something, we tell him to get a mock-up of it, he won't be able to do it. If we can convince somebody he doesn't own anything, he won't get any mock-ups at all. This is why loss brings about occlusion. And so an enormous number of loose ends suddenly tie up on this point. The mock-up, the facsimile, and perception thereof become related immediately to the ability to have. A person who has lost too many things too many times has great occlusion. Why are all a person's past lives occluded? Well, he doesn't have them anymore, that's all. He's gone. They're all gone. Everything about them's gone. He knows now that he can't have them. He doesn't own them. He can't own them. So, by golly, he'd be stretched even to get a mock-up of them in a lot of cases. All right, now let's take a look at this and just compare it together. Having established that fact, and as I have worked out a method of running this ownership in terms of an E-meter in order to get a separation, and find out that you get these fantastic changes in a case with this, we had better make a whole process out of it, giving its proper lead-in. Because I am just a little bit leery of doing this trick, of suddenly giving you a talk all about ownership and how the fella can't own anything, he can't get a mock-up of it. If he's lost something, then that's a universe problem, and whatever is in the universe belongs to the viewpoint of the universe, the fellow who doesn't own anything. Instead of giving you this, no, let's take this from an entirely different angle, and let's give you a complete package which can stand all by itself, and we call this package SOP8D, and we make it a terribly simple package. This package will work on any case. Anybody you process is having the same problems. Then we can swing on into 8.0, or we could go over into just what we've been calling advanced course procedure. And we could, wherever we've said step one, wherever we've said run step one SOP8C, you would just say run SOP8D. And where it says run SOP8C complete, you just say run SOP8D complete, and then 8.0. In other words, you are being left with judgment of the matter, and you have many things to run. Now, some of these things will get you there rapidly. Some of these things will get you there slowly. This one will get you there rapidly. A lot of cases sitting around that are still fogged up. They're not anywhere near as fogged up as they were, but they're still foggy enough to make them very, very interested in what's being put out. Well, let them try this one on for size, because I've been developing it for quite some little time and testing it privately and quietly. And I've been waiting for somebody to blow up under the stress of it, and nobody's blown up yet. But their cases blow up. instead. They get their Sonic and Vizio, and that, after all, is the open sesame, so we're making book one good. How do you run this stuff? Remember, a two-way communication system is the essential on the thing. We run an opening procedure on 8D by having a spot, having the fellow locate spots in space, in the room, with his fingers, with his masked eyes, till he can tolerate space. And we ask him to be 3 feet back of his head. Whether he is or isn't, we don't care. One way or the other, we swing in on step two. We ask him to duplicate his environment and duplicate a nothingness. And we swing in on a step three. He holds the two back corners of the room. He lets go. He spots spots in space where he is not. We swing into four. We ask him who owns everything with an e-meter. And as he's spotting these things that everybody owns, we make him spot them in space. What do we do after we've done this for a little while, or the individual seems to be bogging? We go right back to that opening procedure of 8D. Have him in the room, spots and spots in space. See that? Your individual just looks like he's going to fall out the bottom of the chair. He just can't go any further. He's just so doggone weak. He's so wobbly. He just protests he can't run any further. Then we just go back to opening procedure of 8D, which is locate some spots in space. That's all. There's no sense in trying to remedy the havingness on a case which can't have anything until you've remedied the fact that he can't have anything. And wherever you have a case seriously hung up, it is a case that can't have anything. Because havingness all by itself, run on the fellow in avalanches, would have solved his case. Well, if that doesn't solve his case, then the next obvious step is that he can't have anything. So let's look at this over and see if it's true. Let's find out if this individual can own anything, and we find out he can't own anything. If he can't get mock-ups, we find also, coincidentally, he can't own anything. If he hasn't any Sonic or Vizio, if he doesn't have good perception, we find also that he can't own anything. We find that he has a past history of being in universes which owned everything. We'll find incidents on such a case where we take God's universe and so forth. When he was 2, 3, 4 years old, people coming along and saying, God created everything, and he gives them a real sullen glare. Of course, this was too long ago and too high-toned a reaction for him to encompass this late. He's probably forgotten he's done that. But sure enough, there was a point there. God owned everything. Somebody would come along and say, well, God created everything in 7 days and 6 days and at his lunch, and the fellow will say, as a little kid, he's not goofy yet. They'll say, doesn't seem logical to me. He has some kind of a protest immediately. Who created everything? As far as his viewpoint's concerned, he did. And you have just run the trick on him of third-partying himself. See what you've done to him? You've come along and you have forced him to believe that he is across the street while he's standing right in front of you. See? You've third-partied him. And eventually you'll get him in an auditing chair and he'll say, yes, I'm exteriorized, I'm over there. I'm over there. How can anybody be over there? He can't. Well, you've just said God created the universe, which means when you created the universe, you were over there, which means you are over there. So he gets very confused. So much for 8D. Try it out. It's a good process.